Welcome to Postcards to the Universe with Melissa Caprio. Do you believe in magic? What if you were told that all you had to do was get a little creative and work a magic spell to bring anything you can imagine into your life? Here on Postcards to the Universe, we will share manifesting, tips, postcards, creativity, abundance, and prosperity. Here is your host, Melissa Caprio.
Hello and welcome to Postcards to the Universe with Melissa, creating the life you crave. I'm super excited to be here on OM Times Radio with you. It's Halloween week. I love when October rolls around. It starts my favorite time of the year for the next 3 months. It's just my favorite. I feel the energy shift as soon as October 1st comes. How's everyone doing? I hope everyone is doing well. I am so excited for my guest today, Caridwyn Greenleaf. And I'm going to bring her out in a minute. She has so much wisdom to share with us, so I'm really excited. And I think you guys are really going to like her too. So I have a few announcements first before I bring her out. I want to share again about my giveaway. Now, I talked about this last week if you tuned in. If not, you can listen to the show in the archives. But I want to mention it again. So I'm trying to come up with some creative ways to get my book out there. Since everything was shut down, all my plans on book signings and workshops have been canceled. And my book was just a baby when this started in March. My book came out in November, so I was just starting to build momentum. And because of COVID and many people are struggling, I thought, what would be a good way to both share my book and share my gratitude? And I wanted to do this before the holidays, also because extra cash could come in real handy right now. So I'm doing a cash gift giveaway for my book, and this is how it works. So the goal is to sell 1,000 copies of my book, Postcards to the Universe, Harness the Universe's Power and Manifest Your Dreams. Now, only once the goal is met will one person be chosen at random to win $500 cash grand prize. So there's going to have to be a proof of purchase. Only books purchased during the giveaway are eligible. So you can email me a proof of purchase and a date of purchase with your full name to postcardstotheuniverse@gmail.com. And you can find my email on my website, postcardstotheuniverse.com. So you can find me easily. If you are on IG, Instagram, you don't have to be because you're hearing it on the radio. But if you are, if you would like and comment on my Postcards to the Universe Instagram account, giveaway, hashtag giveaway, Postcards to the Universe. I have all that information already on my Instagram, so you can find that. The giveaway ends November 30th, and I have to sell 1,000 books for the winner to receive the $500, so share it with your friends and family. You can get a second entry if you leave me a review on Amazon or Goodreads. And if you email me the review, just make sure you let me know that you did so that I can put your name in twice as an added entry. I'm also doing a second prize. So 50 people will be chosen at random, and they're going to receive free my 30-day online Manifesting Through Gratitude visual course workbook. That's a mouthful. It's valued at $29. So I'm going to choose 50 people to win that as a second prize. Now, if 1,000 books are not sold by the giveaway by November 30th, there will be no cash prize, but I still want to give stuff away as a thank you. So I'm going to select 100 random names to receive free my online Manifesting Through Gratitude visual course workbook. And it's just to say thank you for participating in this, because you have no idea, as an author, and my guest today is also an author, we need you guys to buy our books, right? And books are so important, especially right now. So just a few things I do want to say: that you can't return the book or refund the book, or you'll be disqualified. And this is a private giveaway as a thank you from me. So it's not sponsored or endorsed or administered with my publisher, Mango Publishing, Amazon, or Barnes & Noble, which is where you can order the book online right now if you want. So I just want you to know, nor Instagram, since that's where I'm running. I'm also running the contest, and I'm going to notify the winner by December 7th. So if I make that goal, which I'm really hoping I do, some lucky person will have $500 extra cash to spend on the holidays. Okay. So I wanted to talk about that again because it's really important. And next week, my show is going to be around the visual course workbook, the Manifesting Through Gratitude. So I'm going to be sharing tips and tools on living in gratitude, and I'll be sharing shifting our belief systems, living in joy and gratitude no matter what is going on around us. And the show is going to be packed with information, and it's just the life lift we need. If you are on any social media sites like Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, follow me. I share a Magic Monday message, an inspirational message each Monday with a photograph of a manifesting postcard or something that I am inspired by. This week's, I actually shared three of Kara Dwin's books, who's going to be coming out here in a sec. And I'm always trying to flood the universe with positive and affirming messages. And if your go-to social media is Facebook, join my public group, Postcards of Love, and post inspirational messages, art, photos, poems, videos, anything funny, anything that lifts you up. You can find all of this stuff on my website, postcardstotheuniverse.com. Okay, now to bring on my guest, let me read a little bit of her background. Kara Dwin Greenleaf is a writing instructor, a medieval scholar, and practicing astrologer. She leads spirituality workshops and retreats throughout the U.S. and has published a number of books on mysticism. In addition to her series of books with Mango Publishing, she is the author of Running Press's best-selling gift books, The Witch's Spellbook and Spells for Love and Romance, and The Witch's Guide to Ritual, Spells, Incantations, and Inspired Ideas for an Enchanted Life, which I just actually finished reading this morning. It was amazing and very informative. She has led ritual and magic workshops throughout North America. Her graduate work is in medieval studies, and she has given her deep insight into ancient spells she utilizes in her work, making her work unique in the field. Welcome, Kara Dwin. Thanks so much for being here with me today. How are you?
I'm good, and I'm thrilled to be here because I'm a fan of your book and you, Postcards to the Universe, and I love Om Times, too. I've followed Om Times for about 5 years, so this is really great for me.
Thank you, and I so appreciate you being here. Yeah, I do, too. I have been following their newsletter for a long time, and I said, I want to have a radio show on there, so I reached out, and they said yes, so I was so excited. So I want everybody to kind of know a little bit about you. So can you share your background and how you got started in the magical arts?
Certainly. I'm happy to do that. I'm originally from West Virginia, which, you know, I now live in the San Francisco Bay Area, so it's 3,000 miles away. And I grew up on a farm, like on a dirt road, and it was very, very beautiful, and I had an eccentric aunt, Edith, who is a big city girl from Columbus, Ohio, and she and Uncle Edison would come down and stay the weekend, and, like, she was very knowledgeable about, like, herbs and flowers and how to, you know, navigate by the moon and stars and at night and, like, what to eat, like if you got lost in the woods and got stuck for a while before
right.
somebody found you. And so, I would just, even as a toddler, like I followed her around and just learned, at her knee. And then I think when I was maybe a tween, I started figuring out like, oh, she's a witch. And like, it made me love her even more, because she was, she was sort of undercover about it. And most of her friends were probably like evangelical Christians, and nothing mattered because basically she was just super in tune with the earth. And she had a real green thumb, too, which fortunately I inherited. So I think I got, I was very fortunate to have an early induction into the way, into the Wiccan way. And, it was that led me to study astrology and, herbalism and even, just everything I could. I was just so thirsty for knowledge and understanding of people, what makes them tick, and then the universe, too. So anyway, I think that I, you know, just was extremely fortunate to grow up in the sticks and have a cool aunt. So that's sort of the very beginning of it. And then, you know, I'm still not sure why I majored in medieval studies. It was just I was really drawn to it. I sort of think it was a past life thing, but I just went with it. And, you know, it ended up not being, you know, a great thing on your resume to help get a job when it came to, like, you know, growing up, you graduate, you get a job. It's like, oh, like, I can right. talk to you about Chaucer for days. But it gave me a very good understanding of sort of a different level of that, because, for example, Chaucer had a deep understanding of metaphysics and astrology and tarot and everything. So if you read Chaucer with that background, it has so many more layers to it. So I still don't regret majoring in it. It's helped me to, like, sort of bring medieval spells back for modern times too.
Oh, wow. So you, do you call yourself a witch or a Wiccan, or does it even matter?
You know, it doesn't really matter to me, but I definitely, once I, you know, moved to the San Francisco Bay Area, like, this was sort of like in the early 90s, this was like, you know, Wicca world. I mean, there was like Starhawk is here, and Louisa Teach and Z Budapest and so many of the leading lights in that world. And so I immediately started gravitating towards that and reading their books. And I was actually Z Budapest's personal assistant for a couple of years. Like, she's a dynamic witch. Like, but it was really fun. Like, we organized, like, women's retreats and all kinds and did some, like, really deep work. And so I, you know, I have to say that, like, I feel like luck has, I've really been lucky in just being at the right time at the right place.
So you use them then interchangeably. So if somebody says, oh, you're a witch or you're a Wiccan, either one is fine for you.
I mentioned, you know, my, when I was a little kid, like a toddler, like my aunt, like it took me a long time, but I figured out that she was a witch.
Right.
But Wicca is sort of like the modern, I think it was like a group that got together like in the 70s and 80s and sort of codified it. So there's like the Wiccan read and things like that. And all that is like good rules of behavior, like, you know, for Wiccan. So, I would say that, like, once I got out here in the San Francisco Bay Area, it was very much more Wiccan. Maybe it's an East Coast, West Coast thing. Maybe there's more witches
maybe.
In the East Coast and Wiccans on the West Coast. I've never really thought about that, but it could be.
That's interesting. Well, I didn't know this until today because I looked it up. So in 1986, okay, this is not that long ago, Wicca was recognized as an official religion in the United States through a court case. Detmer versus Landon. And so an incarcerated Wiccan named Herbert Detmer was refused ritual objects used for worship. So he took it to the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals, and they ruled that Wicca was entitled to First Amendment protection like any other religion. Now, this is just in the United States. I didn't look up in other countries or anything, but I thought that was really interesting because you would think that it would be like, I don't know, 100 years ago. Not in the 80s, you know, that's crazy. So explain, I'll let you explain. What can you tell us about Wiccan religion? Like, what is Wiccan and religion? What are their mythology?
Well, actually, I'm going to grab up one of my books, The Witch's Guide to Ritual, which I think has the, like, sort of a really good overview right there. So that's funny. I was just looking at that before. Okay,
yeah, it's great. Go ahead. I may say, because I just finished it, and it's a great introduction to witchcraft, and because it's so packed with so much information, but so easy to understand. And I love the way you break it down. You know, you talk about using colors and using our signs and using numbers and rituals, and you just like make it so we're really getting a good starting point if we're interested in this kind of stuff about what we want to do and what we would if we decided we wanted to practice, or if we just decided that we wanted to, you know, know more about it. Go ahead.
Right. Well, with the Witch's Guide to Ritual, I want it to be like, whether you're a beginner just thinking about it, like you said, or whether you've like delved into it a little bit, or whether you're pretty like, you know, advanced, like you can still get something out of it. But I'll just go back to the source, which is Gerald Gardner, who explained, and his book was the Meaning of Witchcraft, I think, which was maybe in the early 90s that was published. And he says, any harm done, do as ye will. So that's like a real important thing, is that like your magic, your magical workings, your spells, it's only to the good. Like you're, you know, no hexing, please. They're encouraging the individual to, you know, take your freedom and do as you see fit, as long as it doesn't affect anyone negatively. So while you pursue your own interests, you can think of how what you do affects others, which we should do in like every aspect of life, but especially with ritual and spell work, because you're working with energies that have a wide-ranging powers. And I also talk about the threefold law in The Witch's Guide to Ritual, which is what you do comes back to you threefold. And it's a directive to always think of, you know, what will happen, what are the consequences of your personal actions, and that includes rites, ceremonies, and spells. So I just say it's like good behavior. It's just like sort of Wicca is just a reminder, like, hey, this is only to be to the good, for the good of all, and so mote it be for the good of all. Just rules of good behavior. But you know, there's many you know, many witches and Wiccans that have, like, they published books that go really, really deeply into that. Christopher Penzack, who is a friend of mine, comes to mind, that he publishes with Llewellyn and has a wonderful series and goes in depth. So, you know, you can go much deeper than I do in my book, but it's just,
Have many more books too, and I want to talk more about this book and some of the insights that I have, but we're going to take our break now because we're at the 20 minutes, so we'll be back in 2 minutes, so you guys stay tuned.
Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
Hi, I'm Melissa Caprio from Postcards to the Universe, creating the life you crave. Do you believe in magic? What if I told you all you had to do was get a little creative and work a dream spell to bring anything you can imagine into your life? Well, guess what? I've got the spell for you. Postcards to the Universe, a global movement for manifestation, is a casting magical tool for you to use whenever you want. How does living in passion sound to you? Join me in my movement where you get to create in the magical playground. Let's think outside the box and do some playful conjuring. By casting out our desires with a manifesting postcard, we explore our hearts and allow the alchemy of our dreams to appear. And don't forget to tune in each week here on OM Times Radio with my show, Postcards to the Universe, Creating the Life You Crave, at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. I share tips on creativity, abundance, and prosperity, and you will be introduced to the coolest guests, trailblazers, mystics, and creatives who enrich our lives.
These are the sounds of a dinner. A dinner that almost didn't happen. A dinner now served, thanks to people like you. Due to COVID-19, 17 million more Americans may face hunger. Feeding America is helping our neighbors in need. And if you're able, you can too. Donations are being accepted at feedingamerica.org/coronavirus. Brought to you by the Ad Council and Feeding America. 200 food banks strong.
Welcome back. So if you're listening to the first third of the show, I have a wonderful guest, Kara Dwynn Greenleaf, and she is a witch, Wiccan, whatever you want to call it, doesn't matter. And we're talking about her magical work. And I wanted to say, in the book, I thought what was really great was that it was, I mean, you talk about magical tools, creating altars, working with different elements, crystals, making talismans and oils for the best magical work. You know, and you talk about magical herbs and you have rituals that happen all over the world. So it's so packed with information and you share so many rituals that I thought, well, even if you don't get into, like, if it doesn't, you don't understand all of it, there's going to be at least a handful of things that resonate with you.
I hope so, because one of the things I was inspired to do, I don't know, I just felt called to do it. I thought maybe I can offer like sort of like a calendar, like, you know, 365 mm-hmm. ritual ideas. And I have to say that, like, I've gotten, like, some of the best feedback for that. And that was also mm-hmm. where I got to, like, work in my little history studies a little bit, you know, because there's, like, ancient Roman rituals and medieval mm-hmm. rituals and things like that. And then, you know, recipes for llama spread and, you know, mm-hmm. just because, like, I mean, in a way, like, it's just, again, being, like, grounded and connected to the earth and also the seasons. I mean, like, so right now, you know, this is a big week, Samhain coming up this mm-hmm. weekend, you know, otherwise known as Halloween, when the veil is thinnest between worlds. So what are the opportunities to do, you know, around this time? Usually we would go to like big rituals, but I think people are having to be socially distanced and safe about that. So I know, you know, most people are just doing some solo, you know, mm-hmm. spells and solo rituals of sewing, but, you know, you can be more in touch with your loved ones that have passed on to the other side for days before that. And then especially like, on All Hallows Eve and then the next day. So that can be a wonderful opportunity, mm-hmm. like to just check in with the ancestors. What message do they have for you? What wisdom?
Well, I'm glad you brought up Samhain because I wanted to ask you about that. So this year, it's actually 2 days, correct? Samhain is 2 days. It's October 31st and November 1st. Is that how it's broken down?
Yeah, mm-hmm. because like the, you know, that's the veil is thin mm-hmm. between our okay. mundane realm and the other side. Yes.
Okay, and I know it's been called All Saints or All Souls, and now it's Halloween. Well, this one, because I have all these questions for you about moon magic, happened to fall on a full moon, which is a blue moon. That's where we get the saying once in a blue moon, because they're mm-hmm. rare, and it's a hunter's moon. So do you think, does it feel to you that the energy this Samhain, this Halloween, is stronger than normal? So I wanted to get your expertise on that.
Definitely. And those of us who pay attention to the moon and stars, and there are many of us, like, have been looking forward to it for, like, months and months and months, like, even starting last year, I remember looking, mm-hmm. casting forward and seeing that, and it was like, oh, my goodness. So this is a time to go really deep. And, okay. I mean, I think that it's an opportunity to do a lot of inner work, like, you know, I know this has been such a rough year, but like, mm-hmm. so inner work is like, you know, where you're sort of like growing your spirituality, like deepening your, you know, connection to your own soul, or, you know, so if you have like sort of spiritual goals, mm-hmm. like this would be a good weekend to like do something about it, do some magical work or a meditation or a ritual. I mean, I think that like we all talk about self-care, and hopefully we're all doing as much self-care as we can, but there's also soul care. So what are you doing to take care of your soul, your inner being, like your, you know, and I think that I'm going to really focus on that, what I can do, you know, this weekend, and then also what can I do to give back, because I feel like so many people are hurting and grieving and there's even hunger. Like, what can I do that's like really purposeful and very practical and is for the good of all?
I love that. I love that. Are you going to do a ritual this full moon? So you said usually you would go and meet. So I know you obviously practice with others, but then you practice solitary too. So are you going to do like a solitary ritual because of, you know, socially distancing? We sort of have to, you know, or within our family groups, I guess. Are you going to do something specific this full moon?
You know, I am. I'm going to do, I think that you must have gotten yourself hold of a copy of Moonspell Magic, and that has some specific, like, full moon rituals. So I'm going to do, like, I'm going to do one of the fire rituals, but by myself in my backyard, because, like, I have a little fire pot. I mean, you know, here I am in the Northern California. So like I have to be, you know, if it's a, if there's too much smoke, then I won't do that. But it's looking like it's going to be fine this weekend, but I'll be very, very careful about it. But, you know, I want to, fire rituals can be, not only are they exciting and visually appealing and warm and just like warm your heart, but like they can be very cleansing. I feel like so many of us, but I'll just speak for myself, like this has been a hard year, and I just want to cleanse my, I want to do some soul care and actually mending of my soul and just sort of let go. I want to do a lot of letting go. So I'm going to do the ritual where I write down what no longer serves me and then burn, you know, on like little scrolls or little pieces of paper, and then say, I'm letting go of fear, and then burn it. And then I'm letting go of anger, and then burn it. You know, so that's what I'm going to do this weekend. And anyone can do it. You don't even have to wait for rituals. I mean, that's something you can do, like, with one candle and a stick of incense and pieces of paper, because I think that, like, letting go is very important for us humans, and we sort of need to be reminded that we can do that, because otherwise you find yourself just a big bag of sadness or, you know, grudges or something. Like, let go of that. That's holding you back. Let go of that.
Okay. So, cause I have also talked to many other practitioners who talk about doing rituals during the moon, and you can tell me if this is how you work. Also, they do a lot of manifestation work during the new moon or the waxing phases. And then they'll do a lot of the letting go or the banishing rituals during a full moon and the waning phases. Is that how you work also?
That's exactly correct. Yeah.
Okay.
So I have to say that, like, I am born in the new moon phase. And so, like, I find that I am always, like, really cooking with gas, like, during the new moon phase. So all of us, I recommend all of your listeners to find out what phase the moon was in when you were born, because that's your power phase. So, like, any magical workings you do during your power phase is going to be, you know, just really, really great, to have a great outcome. And then, like, in this case, like, this, I have moon in Pisces. So I was born in the new moon in Pisces, and we just recently had a new moon in Pisces. So that's my doubly, that's like my superpower phase.
I'm going to. That's great. And you know what? I don't know why I've never done that. And I'm going to do that. I'm going to look that up as soon as we're done with the show, because I have no idea. I know that I'm a Gemini, which is about communication. And it's so funny that Wednesday is the day for communication, which I just love, you know, and that was not a coincidence that I mean, it was a coincidence, I should say, that Wednesday is my show. It just fell that way. But obviously, there was a bigger reason for that. And then my moon sign is Leo. I'm a double Leo, moon and rising. Mm. I have fire in my chart. Yeah. So I want to see now when the new moon was when I was born. Yeah. So that'll be really interesting to find out. But that's a really good piece of advice or a tidbit to share with us, because I know a lot of people right now want to doing rituals. For me, I find very grounding. I'm assuming that a lot of people feel that way. Do you feel that? So I like doing rituals. I find the action of doing it very meditative. And I think this weekend could be a really powerful weekend for us to do some magical work.
Definitely. I do find it very grounding. And then also it takes us out of the mundane. I mean, you know, just all of us have our like busy work, you know, and then you can just sort of get like, you can sort of get stuck in that little busy work rut. And then that's in the mundane world. So the minute you start doing ritual, you are out of that and like you're into like another space. And that's where you can be very creative, where you can manifest, you can like, you know, put things into action to improve your life. But, you know, I also find incense very grounding, and I'm big into incense. And I also even like to make incense, which is like sort of a fun little DIY craft, and I tell people how to do that on my blog and then also in a couple of the books. And when I'm like baking like cinnamon incense cones, it's like smells way better even than like cookies or something. I mean, it's like it, but like just burning incense, like I immediately start like, you know, breathing deeper and like just really going into the zone, into the magical zone.
I used to burn incense a lot, but now I burn oils a lot. Especially lavender. Okay. Yeah, lavender oil for some reason. I notice as soon as I do the lavender, and I like sandalwood, I like the woodsy smells too, but as soon as I do that lavender, I notice it totally shifts my energy. I actually have it going right now as we're doing the show. I always have lavender going when I do the show. Yeah.
You know, it's very calming. And I would say that, like, you know, for millennia, people have been rocking, you know, lavender essential oil. Like the Egyptians, I think they prized like lavender essential oil, like, you know, almost as much as like gold. Like, so, and it was used in like everything from like embalming to their own rituals, like to, you know, whatever the Egyptian version of self-care was.
Right. Yeah. There's something about that smell, that lavender, that I just connect with so, so much. So I love it. So that's good though. But making your own incense with the smells that work for you, I think is a really good idea.
Right. And cinnamon, like whether it's a cinnamon essential oil or like a cinnamon broom that you can buy at Trader Joe's, which I love that they have like little,
magical, I do too.
You know, right. But cinnamon, the powder and the spice and the incense, it's also very good for prosperity and abundance. And like, you know, I didn't even know why I was so deeply attracted to, you know, cinnamon, like even as cinnamon incense, like even as a teen girl. And then like once I've studied more, I realized, I must just really want, like, it's a security. Abundance is also security.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's funny that you mentioned that, because I started over the last couple of years that I don't even, every morning, like I have a whole ritual with my coffee. Like it's a whole thing, right? I get, you know, to start my day. And I started putting cinnamon in my coffee. And now it's like coffee. I have to start my day with my cinnamon that I shake in my coffee. And I'm so glad to know, I saw that in the book too, when you're talking about that was sent, because you break down all those kind of things for us to know which herbs and spices and flowers mean what and how to connect with them. So that cinnamon brings abundance. So yeah, definitely now. That's that'll always be in my ritual, my morning cinnamon ritual.
What a energy way to start your day, too. Like, you're grounding yourself in abundance.
Mm-hmm. I know. I'm so glad that you shared that with me, because I didn't know that. So I have a question about why is it that, because if you read about Wiccan and witchcraft, it's really a relationship with the elements and the earth and nature, and it really is a beautiful practice. So why is it so misunderstood? Why are people so afraid of it? Is it because more women follow it and it's women being in power that people are afraid of?
You know, I believe the filmmaker and historian's name was Donna Reed, but I think in the 80s, she did like a documentary called The Burning Times, and I think there's even a book associated with it. And it was basically, and the, you know, again, this was where like studying medieval history was a bit helpful. Like during the, it was really the Inquisition, like, you know, the Catholic priests and popes and kings and royals, like they really wanted, you know, they wanted the power and control. And if you had like wise women, like that were sort of secretly running the, like, you know, the villages, the village elders, like they could say, no, don't give all of your crops to the king who's going to, like, the king who's hooked up with the Pope. Like, don't do that, because we need to feed the village like during winter. So like the women elders were like the healers, and they were usually, you know, they were like the, you know, they were usually witches, like, you know, they could cure, they did healing spells, you know. So what they were doing is taking care of their people, taking care of the village. But the the Catholic priests and popes and royals felt that they had too much power. So that's why they basically did a smear campaign, like a medieval smear campaign on the wise women elders / witches / midwives. And like, you know, many of them were burned. I mean, witches were burned at the stake. Like, you know, so wise women healers that were like, you know, just been birthing babies and healing cuts and wounds and, you know,
so feared, right?
Yeah, they were so feared, they like took them out. So I really do, I mean, it can be, I remember like just weeping copiously, you know, when I first saw The Burning Times. But it's important to know. And what's beautiful now is that, like, there's just such acceptance. I'm so glad that, like, we're in the new millennium. We're getting ready to come up to 2021. And I just love that you could go to, like, Anthropology and Urban Outfitters and buy crystals and witch books and astrology books. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, we've, you know, it's and the millennials and Gen Y and Z have get a lot of credit in my book for their seekers, their spiritual seekers, and they've helped to make it mainstream.
I love that. All right, hold that thought. We're going to take another quick 2-minute break, and we'll be right back.
The Real Conscious Connection. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Long ago, you wouldn't think of galloping on a horse while doing calligraphy, and you wouldn't have attempted to ride your bike while typing a letter. Yet you think you can safely operate a multi-ton vehicle while texting? Behind the wheel is no place to multitask. If you want to BRB, drive now and text later. Lives depend on it.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Hi, welcome back to Postcards to the Universe. So, Caradwyn, I have a couple of questions about doing some magic work. Is there something that you do every day that you would recommend for us listeners to do that's a really good practice?
Yes, I will start with, you told us your morning ritual with your beautiful cinnamon coffee. My morning ritual is that I set intention when my eyes open in the morning, usually like a few minutes before the alarm, and there I'm like, okay, it's another day, and I set an intention, which is, you know, sort of its own like meditation slash spell. And I will say, you know, what I intend to happen during the day. And again, it has to be for the good of all. I knew I was going to be on this radio show, and I set an intention that it was going to be fun and illuminating and, again, like truly helpful to people. So that, you know, when we're going through tough times, intention setting can be invaluable because, like, in the 2008, remember when the big crash, like, you know, we had the Great Recession that started October of 2008.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
So that was in October, right? And, like, I was, I had a mortgage that was going underwater. My partner had passed away, and so he made all the money, and, like, so I had way less money to, like, pay for the mortgage. And it was going underwater, and I intended my way through a sale of that, and I intended my way to the home I'm in now, which I happily rent, and I love it here. And that was, you know, many days of intending and sometimes even writing out my intention. So it can be a wonderful ritual meditation to set the tone for your day. And that it can also be like something you're doing urgently when you need help. So I, whatever you've got going on, like set a morning intention. And I remember when I was going through the difficulties, I would do it in the morning and then also at night. So it's, you know, you could, some people might even call it a prayer, but for me, it's an intention setting meditation.
I love that. I love that. I used to do, I still do, but I used to write it, but now I'll say it. Before I go to sleep, I'll just list at least 3 to 5 things that happen during the day that I'm grateful for, because I feel like being in that energy and going to sleep in that energy of gratitude, it just, I feel like it's really, really powerful at manifestation. And so that's something that I practice doing. I used to write it down, but now it's just so ingrained in me that I just say it in my, usually in my head or sometimes out loud, you know, like, I'm grateful for this, I'm grateful for that. I love how you talk about creating like these intentions or in it, or these, like, and even in the book you talk about creating a sacred space to do your work. And I love that, because when I created postcards, I didn't even realize it consciously, but I see it now, that when I'm telling people how to make a postcard and when I make it, it's a whole it's all magical work that I'm doing. I'm creating this whole process of making a manifesting postcard. And it didn't even dawn on me that it would be considered something that could be witchcraft or Wiccan. You know, I've always been attracted to witchcraft and Wiccan my whole life since I was a little kid too. So I guess, yeah. So I guess I practice the magical arts also, which is really cool. You know, I love that. And I wanted to know how for you, when you sat down, because you have more than one book. This is just one book. How many books have you published?
Like, I think
nine
it's
or something? 10. Okay, yeah. 10 books. That's a lot of books. What's your process for writing your book? Like, how do you create a whole magical space for yourself, and then you set your intention for what you want to put on page?
You know, because I've been doing it for a while, I have a writing corner where I can look out upon my garden, and that brings me a lot of peace, and then also is inspiring just by the nature of beauty. And I have an apple tree, and so, you know, I have something that, you know, grounds me to the earth and, you know, puts me in a good frame of mind to be creative. But every night I write, and it's usually like a specific time, like from 9 to 10, I usually block that out. Sometimes life gets in the way and, you know, I have to like do it later or just switch it up and do it first thing in the morning. But I have a specific space. You know, a specific desk, a specific chair, and like a very comfortable creative space for myself. And so I think, you know, it's also part of my intention setting in the morning that you know, I want to be inspired to write about X, Y, or Z. And so I have a new project that is not quite yet titled, that we're working the title out, but it has to do with wellness and well-being and creating that. And so, you know, part of my intention was that I want to find something new to say, like, what is a type of well-being, a tool for well-being, an approach that's been forgotten and needs to be rediscovered. And so I'm opening myself up for inspiration, because, you know, you never know where inspiration is going to come from. I mean, it could come from an ancestor. It could be like almost like channeled information. Like, you know, writers of old always thought that like the muse, like, you know, downloaded ideas into them. So I'm open to wherever the inspiration comes from.
That's so good, though, that you have a daily practice that you set aside at least an hour, if you can, for your writing out, because it's important to you. So that's also important, is whatever is important to you, you have to set aside. You have to make that very significant in your life. You have to set aside some time for yourself to do that, because I feel like that's what keeps us inspired, is when we're tapping into that creative energy. And with your spell work, do you have a favorite like practice that you do, or a favorite spell that you like to do all the time? I'm always interested in how that is for other people.
Yeah. You know, I think like many another witchy gal, I love candle spells. And so I know I go in like many of my books, I talk about candle color and the importance of that. And then also like dressing the candle with the essential oil. So because this is, you know, this is the season for connecting with the ancestors, I am have been doing that. And I like, you know, not going to go into the details, but like literally like called upon the ancestors recently during a candle spell, and like got a response like within an hour, and I was like, whoa.
You
know, in part it's because like the veil is thin between the, you know, the two realms. So the ancestors, but you know, that's another reminder to us all, is that like, whether it's the, you know, our family members that have passed on, or like, you know, ancestors from, you know, hundreds of years ago, or whatever, or even, you know, beings like, my goodness, the name of the Chinese goddess name flew out of my mind, but like she'll come to me momentarily. But I called upon her, and so anyway, don't be afraid to ask for help. Like they're there to help us.
Yeah, I do think we forget to ask for help, and I have to remind myself to do that more. I want to. Well, I'm just going to ask you. Okay, so I'm just going to ask you. So I'm going to be doing a banishing spell because there's something now I know you talk about do no harm. So a banishing spell is basically just that you want something to go away, not that you want to cause any harm to that thing, right? So if I want to do a banishing spell, what would be, I have my black candle. I have, you know, some of the herbs and stuff. Like, what would you recommend would be a really something that I should include in that spell for banishing? I just put it to you that way. I'm trying to do it general.
Absolutely. And I just wanted to say it was Kuan Yin. Kuan Yin
Compassion.
Yeah. And she was, I called upon her like for the first time in years and like she delivered within an hour. So I was like, whoa, reminder to self, ask for help. But what
Kuan Yin
do,
is interesting because Gregory Postman, who I have on a lot, who he channels and he is channeled when I have had him, he always channels Kuan Yin. So Kuan Yin comes through for me a lot and I get to ask all these questions, which is really cool. I know I should have thought of it too. Okay. Well, sorry.
No
sorry,
problem.
Kuan Yin.
she made us remember her. So yeah. I would try this. I have a little ritual that is in a book of mine. I can't remember. It actually might be in the Witch's Guide to Ritual, which is I call sweeping change. So if you have your special broom, it shouldn't be your, you know, it shouldn't be your household broom. It should be it's like special magical besom or broom. And you can use it to sweep away what you don't want. So you can throw down some salt, like some sea salt or coarse salt in front of the area. And I would say even like maybe do this outside just because like you're also banishing it from your home. Like and nothing energetically negative can come in because you've cleared the energy right in at the entryway of your home. So, and if you can, and I tell you how to do it in the Witch's Guide to Ritual, attach like with copper wire or something, like a few crystals to the handle of your broom. If you want to do banishing, it should be like onyx or black jet, you know, black stones, because they absorb the energy, they absorb the negative energy, and so you can then throw down the salt and sweep it away as you're saying your banishing words and with your black candle burning. And then, but if it's, you know, like none of us have as much time as we would like, so it might be too much trouble to like go to the craft store, get wire, get little, you know, beads of onyx or something. So you could just take a big black stone or big black onyx, put it like before you're doing the ritual, have it like on your altar or wherever it needs to be for like overnight.
Okay.
Then like it will have soaked up the energy you no longer serves you that you want to banish. And then you can take that crystal outside, put it in a bowl of salt to cleanse it. So you've swept away, the energy you no longer want. You're burning it away, and then the crystal is like soaking it up, and you've gotten it out of the house, and then you're cleansing your crystal with salt. So then you're good to go.
Oh, I think that's good, and I think that's good for anybody because this is the time for sending away stuff we no longer want. So whether it's energy, negative energy issues that are going on that you're not happy with and you want to move that energy out, I think this is a good time this weekend to do that because I'm going to be doing that probably right after the weekend during the waxing moon. So we're almost like we're getting close to the end. So is there anything that we didn't cover that you want to share from your book or any one piece of advice that you want to leave us with?
Well, the one piece of advice I would want to leave everyone with is, you know, I love that, you know, millennials, Gen Z, and everyone, like, made crystals on trend again. But crystals truly are, like, very powerful. So you should, like, get the crystals you're attracted to. Like, maybe you like the purple of amethyst, or maybe you like the blue of, like, a blue jade or whatever. So follow your fascinations and interests. Get those crystals. Then study what it is about the crystals, because the crystals drew you towards them, and yeah. There's some learning opportunity for you to find out what properties they have, because they're offering a gift to you. So accept the gift of the crystals.
Oh, that's great. I need to learn more about crystals. And where's the best place that people can find you?
You know, I would say on my blog, which is Your Magical Home Blogspot. And I think if you just Google Caradwyn Greenleaf, that's the first thing that comes up. And I blog every single day. So there's a ritual,
wow.
And usually like a photograph to accompany the ritual. So I am really, you know, I feel like, you know, my aunt, like, really set me up to have, like, a deep level of knowledge, and I'm trying to really give back to the community.
Thank you so much, Caradwyn. I'm so happy that you were here, and thank you guys for listening to Postcards to the Universe with Melissa. Creating the life you crave, and I'll see you all next time. Have a wonderful week. Ciao.
Blessings.